This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to this show where we're going to try to take two reports of awful, terrible, no good things that humans have done and try to see if we can't find a way to turn them into at least a pitch for a good story, a good book, a good movie, a good something. Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Ready for it.
Oh, you are definitely not, because I know what's coming. I know what's in this first bad
you
idea.
You were bragging about this just before we started recording. So it's always a good sign when the bad idea bringer wants to troll us in private before even start recording.
Before we troll in public.
Exactly.
No, but this is exceptional. This is a little saucy item that Ooh. I've run into a couple of times now in different parts of the internet. And I think that it is too good of a gem to not bring into the Thunderdome of bad ideas here.
Okay.
So are you guys ready to jump on in?
I'm strapped in. Let's go.
I don't know anymore, right. But let's do it.
Dear listeners, if you would like to read along, there's going to be a link to this idea in the episode description for this episode. This is a post originally from Reddit. It's high quality has led it to be posted, I think, in a couple different places. But it seems that it was originally a post in r/conservative.
Okay.
Nothing to it but to do it. Here's the full post. I think my boss might be a communist.
Mm-hmm.
So a while ago, I got my first paycheck at my new job at a fast food place.
Okay.
I guess it wasn't too bad, but I did the math and figured out that I sold a lot more food per hour than I got paid for, even when you account for the price of the food. When I tried to talk to him about it, he said we're all part of one big team, but some people get paid more than others. This is suspiciously close to the famous "some are more equal than others" line from my
Someone's
favorite book,
Animal Farm.
Favorite
book? Are you kidding me?
And this is what really got me thinking about this. We make the money and then he takes it and gives it to someone else who doesn't even work. I'm no economist, but this is textbook socialism. I think I've come to the conclusion that the best way for me to combat these socialist business practices would be teaming up with my fellow workers to unify our power and demonstrate that we understand the full value of our labor. Anyone else have similar experience with obviously Marxist bosses before? Or any other advice?
I am more convinced than I have ever been about a post on Reddit that this is a wind-up artist who knows exactly what they're doing.
But Sarah, their username on Reddit is concerned anti-commie. How could this not be 100% legit?
That is definitely not a username that you throw together for a bit using an email address that you haven't used since middle school.
I believe that we are now all aboard this human being's ruse cruise. And
well,
our
talk
captain
to me about where the ruse
is Mr. Trollface. None other than.
I mean, unions are a good idea, so we have to talk about this.
All right. Hold your horses. Let me set this 10-minute timer running, and then we'll talk about this. Timer, 10 minutes. We're all set. Hit me.
Okay. So I suppose if the bad idea here, there is capitalism. That's a bad idea.
Right. True bad idea.
Or at least unregulated capitalism is a very bad idea. There's posting something like that on r/conservative and the backlash that one might receive, there is deciding that Animal Farm is your favorite book. That's a bad idea.
There's so many better George Orwell books, really. Right, come
that's
on.
That's the thing. It's like read Homage to Catalonia. My goodness. There is also the bad idea of performance-based fast food service.
Right. That quota of like you sling burgers and like per burger, you get dollars.
Yeah, I think that's let's do that SpongeBob Krabby Patty thing.
It's like Good Burger meets Hunger Games.
It's a hungry burger.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Just solved it. There is also, and this is a bad, this is a very bad idea, the sort of if an eccentric billionaire handed us the keys to Viacom and Disney's library, like the IP smorgasbord property of which of the fictional burger slingers is the best. Is it SpongeBob? Is it Kenan and Kel?
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. Like a wacky racist style, like Olympics of fast food. And so yeah, you kind of have the, like Shaggy alien and Scooby that versus the whoever, diner, whoever.
Attack the clones or whoever.
Oh my God. So is it just like following like the competition, or is it about these people eventually uniting to seize the means of production?
I mean, I think that's, you've just traced the arc, is that right. They start by fighting each other and then realize that Mr. Burns and Mr. Krabs are the true enemies.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It starts out as just like a straight up reality show where I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to win. And then slowly but surely we see them like realizing that they're on the wrong side of this fight.
Who's our protagonist? Which character are we following in this misadventure?
That's a good question.
It depends. If we're going with Nickelodeon's oeuvre, I would say this is Mr. Krabs' time to shine.
Oh, so we're following the bosses.
I imagine he maybe came up with the recipe at one point and has to get back into the game.
And my SpongeBob foundation is very soft, so I'm... Maybe. Even more at sea here.
Yeah.
You see what I did there? See?
I do. I appreciate the pun. All right,
thank you. Yeah, right. Just making sure. Cool. Okay, so we're following Mr. Krabs. Maybe he's downsizing his business. Maybe instead of just being management, he's now like actually manning the grill himself. It could happen. He's looking for a way up in the world. And so he's joining these animated cartoon burger Olympics.
The Burger Olympics. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's called. And you can have Samurai Jack make a burger. You can have Scooby-Doo try to make a burger, but then eat the burger because he's hungry.
Does at some point Bob saunter in?
Oh, Bob is either the hero or the big bad. Nothing in between.
Maybe it makes more sense.
The Belcher children are around, for sure.
Maybe it makes sense to make it the Bob's Burgers movie, because I would love nothing more than to work with John H. Benjamin.
And Gene can go through the process that this poster has gone through. Like, that's Gene's plot in the movie. If you haven't watched Bob's Burgers on Fox, you absolutely should. It's a very good show.
That is what I was about to ask. Just like a confirmation of like, this is talking about the cast of Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Excellent.
Man, I'm glad we got out of talking about that idea by just talking about television shows that we like.
well, we still have some work to do here. Like, we still need to kind of like, you know, we're still mapping this on. Like, what is the event that begins the slippery slope of, wait a minute, this may be an evil plot that is holding this entire competition together? What is the thing that starts the main character, Gene, I suppose you said, in from this competition to like, I think that we may need to disrupt this. There may be something bad going on here.
Maybe it's one of the executives in the show takes Gene out for lunch to just be like, you're testing really well with the ratings. We want to give you a show and pitches them on the financials of the whole thing. And they're like, wait, we're all doing this for exposure, but you're making money while we're doing this for nothing.
Okay, Zach, like, careful
we're making
there.
The burgers.
You're now.
Right. And this is Louise now who is saying this.
Yes.
No, this is now winding me up. This is now hitting me where I live.
I know, right?
No, like, someone like makes some like offhanded remark about you get a cut of the profits. All of a sudden it's like, oh, there are profits. I was told that this was purely a optics and like, you know, advertisement.
No, this was a benefit.
This was for
raising
awareness.
Yeah.
So is the movie called Exposure Burger?
Oh
no, that's gross. Stop it.
No, I think it's called Everything or Nothing Burger.
Ooh, I like that a lot better. I like that a lot better.
I like that a lot. And then it can be on the board in the shop. I love it. There we go.
Maybe All or Nothing Burger is more colloquial.
The All or Nothing Burger.
Okay. So
I mean, Nothing Burger is an expression, term of art.
So it's like the All or Nothing Burger is, it's the name of the game show, but then it's also the fight of the burger flipping man and woman.
Yes. Cool.
So they have that sort of first moment of awareness. Who do they go to? Who do they first recruit into their revolutionary cause?
SpongeBob and Patrick.
Oh, sure, sure. Two very good patsies, if I ever saw one.
But SpongeBob doesn't get it. He's just excited to be excited. Sandy's trying to really break it down for him.
Uh-huh.
And then Patrick is trying.
Sandy would be all in on this union organizing effort.
Yeah, Sandy would be all in. But SpongeBob is just excited to be excited. And Patrick is slow on the chase, but like then articulates it better than anybody before belching very loudly.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Patrick's the sleeper. Excellent.
Patrick likes burgers.
And where does this go? How does the revolution end up in this particular fictional universe? That's all universes, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it's all universes everywhere. I guess the site of the burger competition can burn down. That seems like it would be fun. If they try to strike, then they'll bring in like scabs. What's another show that involves cooking but not burgers?
Nailed It. No, that's not an animated series.
Like they'll bring in Stan from Gravity Falls who can totally cook a burger. No, he can't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about like another animated like food-based show.
I'm trying to think.
You can bring in Shaggy and Scooby. They are the food experts of the animated world. The true gourmands.
They truly are.
Maybe Mo from...
from The Simpsons.
Oh,
the
Simpsons. Mo would be down.
Yeah, there we go. All right, and with that mystery solved, what are we bringing Mo in for? I got a little
bit lost here. He's a scab.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes. He would be the leader of the scab. And with that is time. That is the minutes on the clock.
We need to go back into the catalog and find more IP that we can mine. But this is great.
Goddamn.
Well, very nice. Very good. A very artful way to divorce this from the terrible reality or unreality of the original post. So
It is, I don't like it.
What a joker.
We're going to see if we can get some burgers, but then after that, we'll be right back with more No Bad Ideas.
Hello, dear listeners. It is I, Zach Valenti, jumping into this episode with this brief announcement. Do you love No Bad Ideas? Do you support the work that Gabrielle, Sarah, and myself put out week after week, whether it is this show or any of our fiction programs, like our recent Unseen audio drama at unseen.show? If so, please head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support and sign up to give a monthly contribution to help us keep our lights on over here at Long Story Short HQ. Once more, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you're not in a position to give or want to go the extra mile, please do share this program and any of our other work that you like. All right, that's it. Let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
Alrighty, those were some delicious burgers that were not made by any sort of exploitative sweat labor, which was good for us. But I'm ready to take
a while to find that ethical burger joint.
I know, right?
It's a lot harder than you'd think it'd be.
Well, New York City. Changing topics entirely.
Ooh, no, I'm kidding. All right, continue.
I have a different kind of a celebration for us to bring our bad ideas to or extract good ideas from, rather. And dear listeners, if you'd like to read along, the link for this article is in the episode description. And this comes from Newsweek, which I did not think had a weird news section, and they don't. But sometimes something pops up. So
every now and then we have a weird news week.
It's true. More and more lately. So the headline reads, Bride leaves groom at altar for failure to recite multiplication tables.
What?
You gotta have standards, babe.
Let me explain.
You gotta figure that shit out a little bit earlier than that. But
ideally,
That's the failure. Anyway, go on, please. We must know more.
So very few people expect to take a math test on their wedding day. But at the request of his bride, taking a math test is exactly what one groom did upon arriving at his wedding ceremony. Unfortunately for him, the results ruined everything.
Wow.
One bride in Mahoba, India, called off her wedding upon discovering that the groom could not recite multiples of two, reports the Tribune.
This is when
I switched to her side.
I am like even more. I was like before jokingly team bride. Now I am 100% to team bride.
So according to the outlet, the groom reached the wedding hall on Saturday evening with his barat, but the bride, who was suspicious of his educational qualifications, asked him to recite tables of two before the garlands could be exchanged. The barat is the ceremonial procession of the groom's side towards the wedding venue. The groom is seated on a decorated horse, and he leads the congregation of his friends and family, who are all dancing, singing, and celebrating, on a walk from his home to the venue. Once the groom's procession or barat arrived at the ceremony, the groom's side and the bride's side exchange greetings, and the groom proceeds to join the bride on the altar, known as the mandap. I am probably mispronouncing all of these words. My apologies to India. The bride and groom then exchange garlands, which signal the start of the wedding rituals. But before the bride could begin her nuptials, she needed to know, was her groom telling the truth about his education? So on the altar, in front of all their guests, the bride tested the groom's basic math skills.
Team bride all the way. Is this the fucking bride from Kill Bill? Like, Jesus.
Was it an arranged wedding?
I'm getting to that in a second. Okay. So the groom's failure made it clear to the bride that the groom and his family had lied about his education.
Monsters.
Disappointed, she watched off the mandap and called off the wedding, said Times Now News. The guests were shocked. Multiple reports state that her family members tried to dissuade her from walking away. However, she was firm in her decision that she could not marry someone who doesn't know basic math. Quote, the groom's family had kept us in the dark about his education. He may not even have gone to school, a cousin of the bride told Tribune India. The groom's family had cheated us, but my brave sister walked out without fearing social taboo. The marriage was arranged, but Tribune India reports that the two families reached a compromise and agreed to return the wedding gifts.
Wow.
So.
Wow. What a heroine.
I am now 100%.
No, we're all team bride.
If it wasn't an arranged wedding, it's like you'd think maybe that would have come up on like date three. Like when the check comes, you're figuring out the tip. And
he's like holding up fingers and just being like, right, four.
Whether he's paying or going Dutch, either way, you're going to figure out that math ain't a forte.
He's okay paying, and then when she goes like, hey, do you want to split this down the middle, all of a sudden he starts sweating. Like that Key and Peele sketch.
All right, let me put 10 minutes on this timer and you tell me about,
just tell me how much half of it is sweats more
about this date gone wrong. Your timer starts now.
Wow.
Jesus, there's a couple of ways to do this. So before I knew more details, what I was thinking was, this sounds like someone that is like desperate to break up with their significant other.
Yes.
And like every time that they try to maneuver them into like, you know, for whatever reason, they just don't click. Maybe they're in love with someone else. They've somehow ended up dating someone and it's just not working out for them. But every time that they try to kind of be like, you know, put them in a situation where they might say something where it's like, ha, I disagree with you and I can now break up with you. They always somehow say the right thing. And so they're getting increasingly desperate. And all of a sudden, one day, in the day of their wedding, maybe because things have escalated that far, all of a sudden she realizes that he can't do basic math. And in this version of it, it could not be the two multiplication table.
No, it would need to be something more complex.
It would need to be one of these people that is like, you know, like, wait a minute, you don't know what 14 times 13 is? I cannot be with someone that doesn't know math. Goodbye. And it's just sort of, okay, you were basically desperate for a reason to break up with this person. And I do find kind of someone being in that situation of, I am super, super looking for any reason to be able to justifiably break up with this person, and they keep on being perfect and not giving it to me, I find that funny. Now right, that I know like the mega whole version story
of We Broke Up.
Exactly, which is a movie that was just released that is actually like a very good examination of the good reasons why even people who love each other break up. This is a movie that would be the exact opposite of that. You're right, Sarah. Yeah.
Now, have either of you heard of or seen 90 Day Fiancé?
Yes.
Yes, someone that...
Someone we went to school with.
No, I believe that they were on Married at First Sight. Never mind.
Oh, never mind.
Similar that's, premise. Similar premise. I'm thinking new reality show.
Okay.
Bullet Dodgers.
Ooh.
Sexy title.
Wow.
And so there's one highly overqualified candidate and one total schlub. And will the person figure out before the wedding day that they need to dodge that bullet?
No, either that or like this woman who dodged the bullet with this man now makes it her life calling to help other women dodge exactly. similar bullets.
I love it. It's anti-hitch.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm so in.
Fucking sold. Let's go.
Call Sandra O immediately.
Wow. Yes.
Wow. It's got vaguely noir vibes of just this sort of sleuthy, like world weary PI.
Absolutely.
I have bad news about your husband to be.
But in like another way, there's kind of this like Charlie's Angels element because she's got like her support crew that is like giving her information and finding these people.
Right. Elizabeth Banks is playing a hacker for reasons.
Yeah.
Right. Do you know what 1+1 equals? Because he sure doesn't.
No, and what's the best part of it? If you're like going to marry someone, if you're in this place of I'm really going to marry this person and someone shows up and is like, hey, you shouldn't marry that person. They suck. 99% of humans, their reaction is going to be fuck you. I'm going to marry them even harder.
Yeah.
So she needs to be fucking subtle. She needs to help them realize the problems with their partner. Like there's kind of this element of she needs to be this very artful reverse psychologist too. Wow. This is actually like
there's
a
probably
good fucking
a psychologist
premise for a TV
on
show.
The team. Played by Priyanka Chopra.
Who can sort of Cyrano de Bergerac through an earpiece as she's like master of disguising as like the nail salon person.
And meanwhile, Elizabeth Banks is like hacking into the Facebooks and going into like through the comments, finding all the things that she doesn't like. It's like a very tight team effort. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I
love it.
This.
This is such a good.
No.
Oh
and
my
like,
God. Yeah.
We all do know either have experienced in our own lives or have friends who have dodged bullets and gotten out of sketchy situations. This series could run forever.
Absolutely.
Wow, it just becomes like the what's that? Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Law and Order.
Yeah, Law. It becomes the like breakup version of Law and Order.
There we go.
Wow.
I love that I know the thing by the song and not the name. I'm like,
I mean,
what?
It's a catchy song.
A friend of ours, like her nickname in college was like the Duh from Law and Order.
I'm trying to think about like what else there is to add to this already perfectly calibrated premise.
No, I mean, we solved it.
Every like the budget for this show would be off the hook because every week they're traveling to a new city, if not a new country.
And how much do those MI and Mission Impossible pull off a face? You got to have one of those.
This would be like fucking Alias. Like they would be like flying all over the fucking place. Where are
they
getting
their
funding?
They do need
their
like himbo guy who's going to help them out, who's on the team.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They need their Bossley slash their, you know.
So sorry to the Gateses because it's way too soon, but definitely Melinda Gates.
Ooh, that's the funding.
I'm so sorry.
That can be revealed late in the game. Like at the start of the series, it's just
they have an
like,
anonymous funder.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel then dirty, but it's also very funny.
Also, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
Sure. All the billionaires who've gotten divorced in the last couple
Elon
of years.
Elon Musk's first wife. Wow.
Wow.
Fuck.
Oh, man.
Now, does she ever find...
If Michael B. Jordan wants a comedy role...
Hey, he'd be fucking killer here. Yeah. Does she ever find love again after
this
she almost married the guy that doesn't know the multiplication tables?
That's the thing we draw out for 7 seasons.
She has like a real will they, won't they with Michael B. Jordan sort of energy.
Yeah, no, I think that's the setup, but she's also like... She dates David Boreanaz and it doesn't work out. Like,
No, and she starts to kind of have like all of this like complicated golden age of television type stuff about like maybe after all this time and like all the shit that I've seen, maybe I've become the bullet. Maybe yes. I'm not good for
maybe
people.
Maybe I'm, yeah.
And
exactly.
She has to come to accept that you can gaze into the abyss and not have the abyss gaze back that much.
Right, right.
Or like that what's changed you has prepared you and made you perfect for a different relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff.
We can't jump the shark relationally like Scrubs, because after they started dating in season 6 or 7, oh, I forget their names even.
Clark and JT.
JD.
Man, Scrubs is a good show.
They sort of lost me after the second or third time they got back together. It was just like, okay, you guys need to be syndicated now.
That's the struggle. And that's like that good season 5 problem to have, man.
Hey, you're not wrong. I didn't stop watching. What's it called?
The Bullet,
I mean, Bullet Dodgers is pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, but I think that there may be something just a little bit better, but that's like right there. Like, I think that's a like very solid B+ if we don't find an A title.
Unhitched, also very good.
Unhitched, also quality for sure. Hold Your Peace or Speak Now.
Problem is that Speak Now is like a T-Swift album.
Yeah.
A Taylor Swift album.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Although she probably shows up as a cameo as herself in an episode. I just want to put that out there.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
As like the wise elder who has had a lot of breakups.
For Nevermore?
That's not bad at all.
I like that.
Maybe that's like that's 6 seasons in the movie.
There you go.
Who's our first celebrity guest that either plays a bullet or a Dodger?
Oh, if it's a bullet, then for sure, like Post Malone or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty good. I was thinking Conan O'Brien for some reason.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Oh, well, Conan might be down. Conan has a pretty self-deprecating sense of humor. He might be down to play like a monstrous version of himself.
And he's seen Jake and Sudeikis do it. So.
And like,
that's
like
true.
John Hammond 30 Rock style seems good at first, but is actually
totally
a goddamn train wreck.
Yeah. That's important. Yeah. Well, that's time. So we need to let's get Conan on the phone because I really want to make
Let's get Conan on the phone right now.
Team Coco.
This series needs to happen.
Get at us. You can get on this gravy train. Ground floor, baby.
And also, like, in the very, I know, unlikely case that the person from the real story ends up listening to us. Seriously, well done.
Like,
yeah, well fucking played.
Like, you have our absolute support and our tremendous applause because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that seems awful.
Know your worth, seriously. Yeah. And it's way more than 2 times 2.
Which is 5, right?
It's over, Sarah.
All right, I'm going home.
We're going to go to Schoolhouse Rock and learn ourselves some multiplications. And we'll be back next week with more No Bad Ideas. Thank you all so much for listening. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabriel Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.